Right now on VFN TV, we're talking specifically to Charles Simpson, one of the leaders in the Charismatic Renewal Movement, about that movement, about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, about the division that followed the presence of the Holy Spirit. Also, we'll talk about collaborating, how important that is to collaborate with diversity. We're talking also about relating and love and how important that is, and how there was no leadership at that time in this aspect of what was going on in the church, and how to actually respond to it. And finally, we're going to talk about the explosive growth of the harvest that took place during this major move of the Holy Spirit. That's right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Here we are. We are continuing our interview with Charles Simpson, one of the leaders in the Charismatic Renewal Movement, a movement that just touched the whole earth. And it was just like he explains it like an explosion of the Holy Spirit. And you kind of get in the middle of it and you're trying to do your best. Well, he talks about some of the things that happened, including the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the division, believe it or not, that followed the presence. But when Jesus showed up, division happened, right? When God shows up, he talks about collaborating with diversity, relating in a lovingly way. How there was no actually leadership at the time. Ecclesiastes talks about it. But they had to kind of form some sort of leadership that was happening at that time, because God's about, you know, leadership. Also, explosive growth of the harvest. People getting saved everywhere. The Jesus movement, the hippies are getting saved, the latter, all these different things are taking place. And how do you respond to that? Guess what? That's what's happening right now in our conversation with Charles Simpson. Let's go there now.
I grew up in early years in the bayous of Louisiana. It was Catholic. My father was a Baptist faith missionary. My relatives were Catholic, and there was a lot of threats against my father.
Why?
And this is in 1931, 32, okay. 33, and then I came along in 37, and he was still ministering to these people. But my mother was an ex-Catholic, and so I had a lot of Catholic bias. And it was not just Catholic as we know it here. It was ethnic. It was closed.
And they were threatening your father.
He was an outsider coming in with a different gospel, a different Bible. He had a King James Bible. They had a Douay version. When they would baptize, sometimes their lives would be threatened. In Golden Meadow, Louisiana, they were going to baptize in Baie Lafourche. And a man got in a pirogue and a little boat and rowed out and had a double barrel shotgun. He said, "The first one in the water, I'll blow him out of the water."
Get out of Dodge.
They had to call the sheriff that was 50 miles away, was the nearest sheriff. They didn't need sheriffs in those communities. They took care of their own business.
This is a baptizing service.
That's a baptismal service.
Whoa. And
so I'm saying that to say why I grew up with a bias. Well, when I got baptized in the Spirit, and I'd had a Catholic friend in high school, but, you know, we didn't have a Catholic church in Theodore, Alabama, where I spent most of my life. And so I get baptized in the Spirit. The secretary to the president gets saved and baptized in the Spirit in one of our meetings. I get invited to do a seminar in a Jesuit college. Now, this is 1966. Now, we're talking about unusual things, okay? I get invited to speak in Bishop Tulin High School, which is a Catholic girls' high school at the time. And I was shocked. A guy calls me. He said, "I'd like you to come over and speak." And I don't know him. He's a priest. I said, "What would you want me to talk about?" He said, "Anything you want to talk about." I said, "Well, how about the new birth and being filled with the Holy Spirit?" He said, "That sounds great." Now, I mean, 1960, this is before the Catholic Charismatic thing. But there was no doubt in my mind that this was God, because it would have never happened. And it broke down something in me as well as something in them, we had kids get saved. We had people get filled with the Spirit at Spring Hill. Then years later, my son graduates from Spring Hill. My granddaughter graduates from Spring Hill. So, I mean, that's a seminal thing that happened. Yeah. It saved us, by the way, thousands and thousands. I lost money on the seminar in 66, but God paid me back.
Hey, we're sorry we had to interrupt this interview. We're going to come right back where we left off after this break. Be sure to comment below. We want to hear your thoughts on what we're talking about. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
I minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired. We want to quit every week. And we look at each other and go, no, let's go. Let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do. We're supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst, that we really could walk away with greater courage.
Mr. Joyner and Mr. Jones, what advice would you offer young people going into ministry as their call in their life and stuff?
Do good and don't mess up.
Stay hungry and thirst, seek and knock.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So when God begins to move, he brings us together, like John 17:23.
He does stuff.
He brings us together.
Yeah, he breaks down barriers.
We're surprised to find out who us is, right? But things were divided from the very folks that God wants us to unite with.
Yeah, I think the greatest scandal is the division within Christianity. In spite of everything we know, the Bible says that we're to love one another and we're to seek reconciliation. We're to love our enemies even.
Right.
And the lack of cooperation in the face of the sliding culture is criminal.
It's so strange. I mean, something I noticed, I looked through the lattice work and observed the people you see that come, they have this desire for unity and they're talking about it. They're prophesying about it, and for some strange reason, they're the first ones to end up fighting against it. I mean, I don't know, it's real weird, but I don't know how you could even have a prayer life in talking to God about taking out members of the body of Christ, but it's just real weird. It's something I don't understand, you know, that, because it's like, you know, remember Rodney King said, he says, why can't we all get along? And you think, I was just thinking, you know, am I naive here? I mean, aren't we supposed to get along? I mean, why is there, you know... You know, I know when revival hit at Brownsville in 1995, you know, the church started uniting and immediately coming together, and all the different pastors came and they're being touched. But there came a point in time where people started had to ask the question, this could cost me my church, you know, my kingdom. And all of a sudden, people just started pulling back when they could have been the very epicenter for the whole world. Be in touch. It costs us everything. You know, I'm sure it costs you everything. You know, it does daily. But, you know, when God begins to move, you're like, I'm going to go find out what God's doing, get in it, and give it all that you have, because this is your moment. This is your moment of visitation. I mean, what do you say about that? Because you've seen people talk about unity and pray about unity movements. We have a wonderful pastor, Ron Latini, who was on, and God's given him a just a passion for unity. And favor too. So a lot of the pastors are getting on. We're going to march in 2020 of October down Palo Fox Street into the park. All these churches are going to come together. And
good.
And but the adversary just really fights against unity.
Well, I've been in various unity movements, and when the Holy Spirit moves, there is love. And I would like to see unity happen on a personal level.
Yeah.
Where if a person is born again, that they are interested in loving their fellow man. We can't bring unity at an institutional level.
Right.
The National Council of Churches has tried that. It comes down to the lowest common denominator, and there's not a whole lot of unity around real biblical stuff. So, what I think we need to bring people to a place personally.
Micro.
Right.
Unity.
Rather than system unity.
I think about Promise Keepers. They were built on personal, loving relationships with a few other men.
Right.
But yeah, it filled stadiums.
I personally think that was a great example, and I think that if I can experience unity with a few people, then I should be able to experience unity with a lot of people. I learned that dynamic where personalities clash and people make mistakes, but we love one another and we forgive one another. That has to be learned somewhere.
Right.
And then it can be applied in a larger community. I think it's a certain type of person that can have unity,
right,
not just a certain type of institution.
Mm.
And so I think we have failed at the Sermon on the Mount level.
Mm.
I think we have failed to deal with the real issues of relationships. And I don't mean the church hasn't tried. I'm just saying we haven't succeeded in producing a product that loves. So let me give you an illustration.
Okay.
I have a friend, Rex Miller. I think I've recommended him to you before. Rex has a company called Mindshift. He's a consultant and a futurist.
Mm-hmm.
He's recently produced a book on Christian schools. I forget the name of it, but it has to do with the changes that are going on in Christian education. A lot of Christian schools are having to close up,
mm-hmm,
and they're facing all kinds of problems. And he talks about how they need to be transformed, and he's selected certain examples of schools that are transformed and have increased their reach, okay, in fact, and become multi-campus schools and so forth, and the different things they have to do. It's an excellent book, and a lot of educators are reading it. But I was fascinated as he talked about making diversity happen in a particular school, because that's a sample of the whole culture,
right?
And how kids can be taught to build together, mm-hmm, rather than you become part of my building or I become part of your building,
right?
And we can actually build together. We can do something together, and that's a new adventure.
Okay.
And that I raise that because it's on a personal level. It's, mm-hmm, children.
Mm-hmm. We did this.
Yes.
Not I did it and you joined it.
Right, exactly. It's collaboration with diverse components.
Mm-hmm.
It's not collaboration just among white kids or, yeah, black kids or Hispanic kids. Mm-hmm. It's collaboration in diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to go into my history, but I didn't see much diversity growing up, and I wasn't a good collaborator.
Mm-hmm.
But I was fascinated because he's latched on to something where it's actually working in several places like Philadelphia, which is a tough place,
wow, yeah,
to make it work. That's right.
Right.
Dallas is another place.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives the process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not without some struggles, but there's some great successes. So what I'm saying is we need individuals that can cope and relate with the current situation we're in now and can, I don't want to use the word integrate, maybe that's the best word, but collaborate with people that are different than they are.
Right.
And Christians have grown up in a mindset that I can't do that. And I'm in the building over here practicing what I believe. And when I go out, I'm a different person.
Right. They rode to that building in a car they didn't build. But somebody built it that may not have been a member of their church. The gas station, probably, they weren't probably a member of their church. I mean, all the parts of our life, we're doing things everywhere we go.
I guess what I'm trying to say is we need to learn how to relate more lovingly and understandingly to the culture we're in right now. And it's hard, to be honest with you.
People are suspicious of it.
Absolutely.
What are your motives?
A lot not to like.
Right, right, right.
I mean, I battle a temptation to go back to the swamp because I can control that environment.
Literally the Louisiana swamp or the religious swamp?
Well, the religious swamp is more dangerous. I'd just rather do the natural swamp.
Okay.
I have a picture in my bathroom of a Cajun cottage with a rusty tin roof and a little bayou in front of it and a cistern out back and so forth, a little boat tied up to the front.
Daydreaming. And,
well, if it gets too nasty, I look at that picture a long time. But I can't do it.
Right.
And I shouldn't even think about it.
Where else could you go?
Right.
You know, you wrote about in one of the magazines that I've read, New Wine, that a true disciple has nowhere to go, because once you're truly Jesus' disciple, it's like Peter's going, where else can I go? There is nowhere else to go. I understand now that you've created me, that you're living in me, that you've got a destiny for me, and we're doing this together, and I'm following you. There's just no options.
No, there's not. There's not. I think he has the words of life. And the excitement we've talked about here ruins you for boredom.
Yes, it does.
And you want to see God move. It brings life. And when you give life, you get life. It's exciting.
It's very exciting. And I really believe this generation so needs a visitation from God. And I believe it's coming. Oh, I hate to interrupt right in the middle of this interview, but we're going to pick right back up where we left off after this break. Don't forget to comment below. We love hearing from you. See you after the break.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Jenkins, Oakley.
Knight.
Come, O
must trow to hold Heidegger apart. Holy infant, so tender and loved, sleep in heaven's trampings.
Ein Blitzer kommt! Ein Blitzer kommt!
Jim?
Jim! Don't do it!
Halt! Er ist nicht bewaffnet! Nein, not so!
My name is Jim.
Mein Name ist Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön. Weihnachten.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So all of a sudden, here we are now. Let's kind of go back, and I'm sorry about going back and forth, but the fact that, you know, people are getting saved, people are being filled with the Holy Spirit, they're excited about the gifts, they're realizing that I need some teachings here, we don't know what's going on. Some people don't realize they need teachings, and they're promulgating things that are totally not scriptural, so all of a sudden, you know, you and some other teachers are realizing and been asked to, can y'all start teaching over this? Can you start teaching what God says in His Word about the church? And so y'all began to teach that. And then, you know, the cell groups, as we talked about, home groups begin to form. And, you know, some of the authors wrote about that, that this deep desire was happening in America. Maybe 80% of America, maybe said, at least over 50% were saying they wanted that deep, intimate connection that would happen in the context of a family or a relationship. And they credited, you know, what you were doing and with others is causing that to happen, possibly by meeting that need of developing this network of home churches and, you know, cell churches. And I don't understand. This is a problem. You know, you meet in a storefront, they call it a church. You meet in a brick building, they call it a church. You meet in a, you know, whatever, they call it a church. But if your church happens to meet in a home, they call it a home church. It's just, I don't understand. You don't call it a stucco church. You don't call it a crystal cathedral church. You don't call it a shopping center church. But it's just real strange, you know, that mindset versus like when two or more gathered in my name, you know, there I am in the midst of them. But y'all began to do that, began to meet in. You know, you got to do something with this harvest, right? You build a big building, or you start meeting in homes. And so, talk about that a little bit, because y'all's response was to begin to gather in homes in different places. 130,000 homes, I believe, or families, were connected at some point. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, that's a book you just talked about.
Right.
You know, there was no a ecclesiastical structure. This is an explosion.
Right. Of growth.
Yeah. Yes, of all kinds of things. It was just an explosion. And I think that we were caught up in it. It was much, much bigger than us. I mean, you had different renewal movements going on, mm-hmm. some borderline Christian, mm-hmm. Full gospel businessmen, I think, began to recognize they needed teaching, so they would have an afternoon teaching seminar. Mm-hmm. But that was very limited. That would be in a, let's say, a regional conference.
Right.
But
those are mostly business leaders.
Yeah, it was not their calling
right.
to provide teaching. So God raises up teachers. Mm-hmm. And then there's a need for pastoral care.
Yes.
Because a lot of denominational people didn't want charismatics in their church.
Right.
Or didn't want a charismatic church in their denomination. So
yeah.
then you needed pastoral care. Then you get prophetic people start come to the surface
right.
and apostolic people. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of wave after wave after wave of God providing gifts to the church.
Right. What you talked about Ephesians chapter 4.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are some guys that became like fathers mm-hmm. to others. But there's no real historian.
Hey, I hate to break in this interview, but guess what? We're going to continue it tomorrow. Make sure you join us on our next program. But tomorrow's program, let me tell you a little bit what we're going to expect about. Before I tell you that, comment below. What are your thoughts about this program? We want to hear from you. Are you part of this? Were you part of it? Do you want to be part of it? What are your thoughts? How are you being encouraged by this program? We love hearing from you. Our next program, make sure you catch us. We'll be talking about the renewal movement that took place. We'll be talking about sensing of the next explosive harvest that's coming. We'll be talking about how God's going to be raising up pastors. We're talking, Charles Simpson's going to be sharing about these things in addition to how the church goes from families to tribes to nations and how this church today, how we are today in regards to replicating or making disciples. We're going to talk about all that. Make sure you join us tomorrow. I want to pray with you before we go. Father God, I pray a blessing over our audience right now. Minister to them, Lord. Encourage them. Inspire them, Father God. I pray, Lord God, lift up their eyes. Give them hope for what you're about to do in the earth, God, and make them a part of it, Father God, we pray. In Jesus' name. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third grade awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. Don't forget how easy it is. Love God. Love others and lead others to the same. We'll see you in the VFNKB community.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.